Good morning, Calvary. Happy Thanksgiving. It's almost over. You got one more day until the real world of Christmas is upon us. And you're back to work. How many of you survived the turkey comas? Yeah, who's ready just for like a salad and fruit for a couple of days after a big week of Thanksgiving feasting? I'm Jay. I'm one of the pastors here on the Erie staff. And it's so good to be with you this morning. Well, if you're new to Calvary or you're visiting from in town and about to escape the holidays and travel back to DIA today and get where you need to go or hit the road this afternoon, we're so glad you are here with us, with your family here at Calvary and joining us for church. If you're new and this is maybe the first time you've been at church in a long time, we're so glad you're here. Our church has been going through the book of Romans this last year, and we finished up last week, which was just a joy to get together each week and go through chapters 1 through 16 of Romans and really understand the gospel and the implications for our lives in 2018. And now this week we're going to talk about gratitude. Obviously, it's a one-off. It's a topical sort of message about the gratitude in the season that we're about to get into here with the Christmas season. And then next week is going to be really fun. We start the Christmas carols here at Calvary. And so if you are familiar with some of those old Christmas carols, we're going to explore sort of the depth and the meaning of why these carols were written over the next month. And it's going to be a lot of fun as we sort of bring back some nostalgic music and some ideas of these old carols and hymns. And I can't wait for us to dive into the Advent season, the Christmas season, as we prepare our hearts for a great Christmas this year. So that's where we've been, this is where we are today, and that's where we're going next week. And I hope that you don't miss out on that. If you want to follow along today, I have an outline in the sermon notes, and you can follow those either in the lobby, online, or they're back here on this table, and I think upstairs at the table just past the doors, there's an outline for this morning if you're one of those note takers or that you're so tired from board games, staying up late all week, you need some help. Don't hesitate to grab one of those this morning as we journey and learn about gratitude. But before we get any further, let me pray for the day. Jesus, I'm so thankful for my church. I'm so thankful that you have journeyed with us this year, have been so gracious to us this year, that you've watched over us this year, that you've been a God who's been so faithful. Even in the seasons of our church family when we've said goodbye to loved ones, even when we've had disappointments of members and friends losing jobs, even when we celebrated the joys of new babies in our midst and dedications, we're just so thankful, Jesus, that your grace sustained us. When it was impossible and when it was hard, when it was joyous, you were there, and we're just grateful. So Jesus, that you would continue to train our hearts, teach our hearts what it is to be people who are thankful in all that you have given us and grateful for the things that you do on our behalf when we're so undeserving. And Jesus, that you would be with us this morning and convict and challenge us and give us ideas about how to live a life well lived. It's in your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. So, this morning I have a question for you. A question that we all would love to answer, but it's this. How do we live a life well lived? How do we live this type of life? A life that is full of meaning and depth, full of generosity and graciousness, full of joy even in the midst of the heartaches and pains. How do we live that type of life? Now, many of us have been through 2018 with a lot of ups and downs, right? I mean, even in this week, you know, family brings out the best of us and the worst of us, doesn't it? It brings out, the holidays bring out our best relationships with our friends and the worst type of relationships with our friends. And how do we navigate all that we go through in a life well? How do we live it well? The gospel is not only about saving us from the penalty, the right penalty we justly deserve, which is our sin, but it's also more than that. It's about giving us a greater vision for a life that could be different, a life that could be above normal, a life that could be a life well lived. And one of the key ingredients for this life is this thing called generosity or thanksgiving. And it's a really interesting concept to me because it hits so close to home. This fall, early this fall, going in from the summer to the fall, I had a season of great anxiousness and anxiety. So sort of the dash light on my car, my own personal life, was running in the red. I don't know what it was. Maybe it was the amount of pressure to perform or the expectations of myself or others. Maybe it was the lack of trust or realization that God was in control. But I came into a season of really little sleep, working constantly, checking my email over and over again, running in the red for far too long. And I remember the day I was sitting up just up here in the office, and I'd gotten in really early, and I was cranking through emails, and I was getting things done, and I was talking to people, and I was making sure the dots were connected and all that stuff. And then I looked up, and it was 5 o'clock, and I hadn't even eaten or barely gotten out of my seat for the day. And I knew there was something wrong because I was leaving for work and going home, and I was thinking, gosh, I feel like I got nothing done. And it became a season of really soul searching, of really wondering, like, what am I doing? Why is life not flowing really well? Why is it not happening very easily? And then I remembered this practice of gratitude. Maybe it was from some family members who I know who have gone through AA, or family members that are close to me that have dealt with depression and anxiety, that I remember this practice of gratitude, and that's waking up each day and writing three simple things you're thankful for. And that practice, along with scheduling some rest and getting away and starting to pray and scheduling some time to pray and scheduling some time to worship and read and God's word and things like that, and time to maybe eat a little healthier, and all those things led to me journeying out of being anxious and dealing with this anxiety and not sleeping well and not performing well. And it got me thinking that with the holidays, we all have these, right? These are cookbooks or recipes that maybe we inherited, maybe they're in index form, maybe they're online, but we have all these books. This is my wife's recipe book I stole this morning from her. Hope she doesn't need it for lunch today. But it has all these recipes that she enjoys or she's tried or that some friends have given to her. And if you know food long enough, you realize that there's really just a few ingredients that make food taste really well. One of them is butter. Okay. One of them is heat, something that's hot. And most of the time is sugar as well. It makes something taste really good. I mean, and then there's also salt. I mean, that's why we like eating out, because the food tastes really good. And what they're really doing is just putting a lot of salt in their food and a lot of butter and putting it on heat. And some of you are like, Jay, you forgot bacon. That's a key ingredient. And I probably did. But there's a key ingredient to a life well lived. It's not the only ingredient, but it's one of them. And that ingredient is gratitude. So this morning, we're going to look at this idea of gratitude. And we're going to really unpack some of the principles behind gratitude and how to live this life well lived. And it says, the first principle is giving thanks trains our hearts. Now, our hearts are deceptive, right? Sometimes they're fickle. Sometimes our hearts reveal truly what we are thinking. A heart of entitlement, this is a an issue with our hearts. A heart of entitlement sees everything they have as deserved. I remember this well in high school. I came home one day, it was just after I turned 16, and my mom said, "Hey, I got you a car." Now, my mom was a single mom, okay? She was pretty amazing. Thinking back now as a parent and looking back at my mom's life, I'm like, how'd you do this? How'd you do it? I came home one day, she said, "Hey, I got you a present. I got you your very own car." And I was thinking, oh my goodness, she got my dream car, right? And she said, "Did you see it coming in?" I was like, "No, I missed it." And we walked back outside, and there in my neighbor's driveway, that's where she has stashed it, was this baby blue 1979 Ford truck, okay? Baby blue, like water tower blue. You remember when they used to paint water towers that baby blue to go with the skyline? It was baby blue, and it had a camper on the back. It had mud flaps that said, "New Mexico, the land of enchantment," on them. It had a felt dashboard. It had those frilly hanging things hanging off of the thing. And I was such a jerk to my mom. I was so disappointed. I was so mad that this was going to be, had to be my car. And it revealed to my mom and me a heart of entitlement that I deserve better. Now, looking back on it and getting some wisdom and age and some years between my first car and now, I wish I still had that car. I love that car. It had so many good memories of cruising with my friends or, you know, trying to turn the wheel because it wasn't power steering in the parking lot. Like, I would love for my kids to hop in that truck. But at that time, I was a selfish high school boy. And I had a heart of entitlement that said that everything I had is deserved. You might have a heart of pride that sees everything you have as earned. A heart of pride that sees everything they have as earned. I can't believe I'm telling this story. I probably shouldn't, but in college, I was dating a girl for about 10 months. And I thought she was the one, okay? And one day we were hanging out, and it was a good conversation window, and I brought up the talk of let's getting married. And she brought up the talk of let's break up. And after that, we met up a few days later after my heart was just so disappointed. We met up at Steak and Shake. How many are from the Midwest and have eaten at a Steak and Shake? I refuse to eat at Steak and Shakes anymore, okay, after this day. And there, around chili cheese fries, she called it off. And I remember the next year of just disappointment and depression. And I remember being so angry at God. Like, why would he weave our paths together just to break my heart like the way he did? And what it really revealed, it was an entitlement of pride. That I was a good guy. That I deserved and earned someone that would be special like that. And I remember the months that led to that of unpacking my pride and my entitlement and really journeying with God. Now, it's easy to make fun of that story now because so many years later, he would give me and bless me with Kristen, which is an incredible gift. His story was far better than the one I thought should happen. But at that moment, my heart was really revealed. So a heart of gratitude sees everything they have as a gift. From the simple cup of coffee, right, on a Sunday morning, to waking up in maybe your dream home, or even with a roof over your head. I mean, or even the simple fact of this stat. According to the United Nations, approximately 7,452 people die every day in the United States. That's every 12 seconds someone passes away in the United States. As the simple gift of waking up from sleep, as a gift from God, a heart of gratitude sees everything they have as a gift. Now, there's a really unique passage in Matthew 5. It's in your notes. It'll be on the slide. But Matthew's a gospel that's so unique in the sense of who's telling the story. It's about a man who was a tax collector who got chosen by Jesus to follow him for 3 years and become one of his disciples. And here he pens this really unique line in the Sermon on the Mount that I think is a really good explanation of a heart of gratitude sees everything they have as a gift. He writes in Matthew 5:45, now he's talking about prayer, praying for your enemies, Jesus is. It says, he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Now the passage is about praying for your enemies, but it's so much more about everything that God does is a gift, even for the just and the unjust. That think about your worst enemy. Think about who would maybe that be, a people group, a friend, a coworker, hopefully not a family member. But think about your worst enemy. Now think about how God is sustaining them today. He's making it rain maybe where they live. He's giving them the oxygen to live. That God gives rain to the just and the unjust. That everything that God does is a gift from him. Here's the principle. When we say thank you enough, not just once, but over and over again, when we make it a habit in our life, we actually believe everything is undeserved gift from God. We train our souls to resist the discontent we might feel, the selfishness, the covetousness, the self-pity, and greed. See, one of the key ingredients of the best life well lived, one of the key ingredients is gratitude, and giving thanks, saying thank you, trains our hearts to be a people who sees everything as an undeserved gift from God. Okay, principle number two. When we say thank you to God, we glorify him as the source of all things. I'm reminded of Ephesians 5:20. It says, give thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Or Psalm 118:29 says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. When we say thank you, we acknowledge and we give glory to God for all the good gifts he gives us. We acknowledge that he's the one who's given us the things that we love. He's given us the shoes that we wear this morning or the breakfast we had. He's given us a church in a parking lot. How cool is that, by the way, a new parking lot this morning? Woohoo! Awesome. That we acknowledge, we used to say thank you, we acknowledge that he gets the credit. He gets the glory. When we say thank you for giving us oxygen just to sit in this room. Or our next meal. How crazy is this? That most of us in America, most of us in this room, never have to really pray for our daily bread. I mean, sometimes we have to pray for good food to be in the refrigerator instead of the leftover food that's in the refrigerator. But most of us never have to pray for our daily bread. How incredible is that? That your next meal is guaranteed almost. Your next meal is based upon not a choice of options of many options. How many of you have ever walked through the Big King Supers and like you've gone to the salad dressing side and you're picking out a salad dressing and there's 20,000 salad dressings there? You're like, I just want Caesar, but I didn't know there's 20 Caesars and there's all these type of different Caesar salad dressings. And when we say thank you, we glorify God. See, the principle explained, when we say thank you to another person, we give them the gift of acknowledgement, affirming we notice them and they matter. Third principle is make gratitude a distinguishing marker for your day. Does gratitude come from your heart already? I remember being a server in college at Applebee's and working the Sunday lunch shift. And I remember most of my coworkers hated picking up the Sunday lunch shift. And many of you know why. Many of you have been servers on the Sunday lunch shift. But I knew that the churches would get off and Christians would come eat at lunch and they would tip very poorly. This was one of the things we expected. And so when on Sunday happened, I would always walk the tables and you would see the families that would come in after Sunday. They would be dressed up. They would pray for their lunch. And then they would just, after like a $50 bill, they would leave you $2. And I remember thinking, I'm glad that at least I'm here to receive that $2 instead of my friends who don't know Jesus receiving those $2. Because at least I know somewhat what they believe. But especially in this season of eating out and celebrating, how generous are we? How generous does it look in our own lives as we say thank you to individuals and people? How does it look to be in the line at Target and start a conversation with that teenager who's checking you out and saying, hey, thanks a ton for helping me today? Or opening a door for someone who's walking in behind you. Or when that happens to you, to say simply, hey, thanks. It means a lot. Is it a distinguishing marker in our own community that when someone serves me, I am immediately writing them a thank you note or saying thank you, a simple thank you? Because don't forget, it's one of the key ingredients for a life well lived. It shows and reveals what your heart is. You know, I've been working on this with my 5 and 3-year-old, right? And we dropped him off last night at the grandparents' house. Chris and I had a date, which was a lot of fun. And I set him down. Well, I put him in their car seat so they couldn't move. And we buckled up. We turned on the car because it was a little cold. And I said, hey, guys, I want you to really practice one thing tonight. Saying please and thank you to your grandparents. And all the things. You know, if they give you extra helping of mac and cheese, say thank you. If they, you know, pick out your favorite puzzle, say thank you. And what I'm trying to do is give them the practice of thank you so their hearts would be thankful in this season. And so when we see the scriptures and when we see the mark of a disciple, will gratitude be our marker? 1 Thessalonians 5 says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Now, prepping for the sermon, I went through the scriptures and looked at all the times thanksgiving or thankfulness or gratitude is used, okay? One of the unique things about gratefulness or thanksgiving in the New Testament is majority of these passages happen in the letters that Paul has written, which I thought was really fitting because we just have come from we have come from Paul's greatest letter, the letter to the Romans. But if you look at Paul's life and all the letters and all the communications that we have in our scriptures, the God-ordained fruitful scriptures of Paul's letters to these churches, one of the biggest things is his gratitude. And it got me thinking, like, You got to sort of know some of the background of this to make it really unique. But Paul is one of these guys who was a religious zealot who gave his life to the Lord and then turned out to give his life to this mission of reaching the lost and the least and the unreached of the Roman world. And because of that, he suffered greatly. He lost a lot of friends along the way. He was shipwrecked. He swam for his life at a time. He was hungry. He was cold. He would spend days and months traveling, not in like, you know, a nice train or by Southwest with peanuts delivered to him halfway into the flight, but by walking. He was beaten. He was robbed. He dealt with sleeping out in the wild among wild beasts. And it's really interesting, if you catch Paul's life, that he's always thankful. And it reminded me, oh, that is the marker of really someone who knows and understands who God is, who knows and understands who Jesus is. It's that key ingredient that sort of defined Paul's life of gratitude. Principle explained. Gratitude is always fitting for the follower of Jesus. A distinguishing marker of a person living in the will of God. If you look at 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Okay, how do we practice? So we've learned what gratitude is, how it's sort of supposed to be in our lives. How do we practice gratitude and thanksgiving? The first practice we have in gratitude and thanksgiving is worship. Colossians 3:16 says this, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your heart to God. And whatever you do, in words or deeds, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Colossians 3:16 and 17. One of the practices of gratitude is worship. It's what we have just been doing. It's not only just singing simple songs of prayer to God or declaring who God is, but it's also responding in thanksgiving to God. That we walk in here from a week of thanksgiving, a fun week, a disappointing week, a week of friends and family, a week of loneliness, wherever you are on the spectrum, and walk in here and get your hearts reminded of how thankful we should be of God's goodness to us. And worship does that. Something about the human experience singing out loud. Something about the human experience about singing songs that sort of go past our head and into our hearts. It's unique. One of the things that has shifted in our culture just in the last 20 years, last 40 years, if we have started to have specialties in singing. Long ago, since the creation of man, men and women have gathered around to sing around the campfires, around the ale houses, around the dinner tables. They've sung. One thing is because we didn't have the technology for instruments, right? On some well, or you had to be super elite or rich to have those. But one of the things is a human experience. And so when we worship, we tune our hearts to being grateful. That's why worship is so important. Because we hear from the God's word, we hear from preaching, we hear from great sermons of how to respond to God, but in worship, we participate as well, declaring who God is and how thankful we are of him. Okay, how do we practice gratitude? We practice gratitude in prayer. Philippians 4:16, and this was one of those great verses I latched onto this fall. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Have you been in a season where you've said the, I call them the Hail Mary pass prayers? Oh, dear Jesus, help me do this. Oh, dear Jesus, get me through this moment. Oh, God, give me a parking spot on Black Friday. You know, those Hail Mary pass prayers? Or is your prayer life known for coming to God and saying, thanks? Thanks, Jesus. Thanks for giving me a heart that beats well today. Thanks for giving me a good cup of coffee to wake me up. Thanks for my family or my kiddos. Thanks for my school. Thanks for my teachers who are passionately helping me learn. Are your prayers filled with thanksgiving? And one of the ways in which to combat disappointment and anxiety and depression, to combat suffering and loss, to give your heart a joy, is to go to prayer in thanksgiving. And talk to the creator of the universe who's willing to listen to you. I was struck by this. Last year, I went to the Hoover Dam for the first time. If you stand on the road of the Hoover Dam and look over, it is one of the most incredible feelings you have as a human being, because it is so big and you feel so insignificant with the wind tunneling up on the concrete into your face, and you look over and you're just like, wow. Like, as a human who stands 6 feet tall, like, I am really small compared to this man-made structure. And it got me thinking, I bet, what if my prayer life felt this way too? Where I would come to prayer and I'd be like, oh my gosh, I am looking over the edge of the greatest God of the universe, who stretched out the heavens and the stars, who simply wants to and takes time to hear my requests and my pleas and my disappointments and my joys and my worries and my anxiousness. How incredible does prayer, when it becomes thanksgiving, transform our hearts? And then by remembering. We practice gratitude and thanksgiving by remembering. The Psalm 77 says, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I remember your wonders of old. I will ponder all your works and meditate on your mighty deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your might among the peoples. With your arm, you redeemed your people, the children of Jacob and Joseph. One of the greatest spiritual practices you can have in your life, one of the greatest ingredients for gratitude, is remembering. In fact, it defines the Christian experience, because guess what? At the Lord's Supper, the Lord's table, we remember. When we sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, we remember. When we hear the scriptures and we hear the gospel story, or we hear the Christmas story, we remember, and it teaches and trains our hearts to be grateful. In my family, I got this tip and trick from Thomas. So it's not my genius, okay? It's Thomas's genius. But we have a thankful jar at our house. And anytime something great happens, we write it down and put it in the jar. And at the end of the year, by the new year, we flip it open and we read all the things God has done. And it's a great reminder of how God showed up. Not only the big things like providing a new house, or a cousin who is healthy, or our aunt battling cancer, but it reminds us of the simple things too. That Jesus showed up on a summer day and gave us a great day for a family to celebrate and to hang out. Or it reminds us how thankful we are to live in a great country, and to have the religious freedoms and the personal freedoms to do whatever we really want in this great country, for better or for worse. It reminds us, when we pick out the thankful jar, how he showed up in our friend's life when we prayed for years for that prayer request. And it helps us to simply remember who God is. And then there's dark days. And then there's super big disappointments, and then we get to remember as well how God showed up in the past. And if God showed up in the past, how we know he will show up in the future. It reveals his character to us over and over as we pull out our thanks. Maybe that's the practice for you. Maybe it's to buy a little memento. Chris and I, when we go on trips together by ourselves without the kids, you know, just really get away weekends, we buy a piece of art from wherever we're going. Some local art, and then we hang it in our bedroom. And it's to remember how good that time was. How fun, or how, you know, I took the wrong way and didn't listen to the Google map. Or, you know, how fun it was to end up in that really hole-in-the-wall burger joint. Or whatever it is, those pictures remind us and help us remember how good God is to us. So, those are some ways we practice gratitude, by worship, prayer, and thanksgiving. But don't take my word for it. This morning, we are going to practice gratitude and thanksgiving. So I'm going to invite the band up. They're going to come up on stage. And here's what I want you to do. Now, in your sermon notes, there's little three little blanks. If you don't grab the sermon notes, fine. Grab a sheet of paper. Grab the Connect card. Just don't tell Tim because he restocked them today to write your thanksgiving on them. You know, maybe it's to get out your phone and write three things that you're thankful for. And we're going to give some time in the room for you to practice gratitude, to remember and to be thankful for whatever God's doing in your life. Now, here's the trick. I'm going to fill in the first blank for you. And I want you in the first blank to put Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15 is one of the most beautiful chapters in all of Scripture. And Paul, that guy who's felt a lot of suffering and disappointment, writes that the greatest thing that God has ever done for us, the most important work that God ever accomplished, was raising Jesus from the dead. And no matter where you are, maybe your electricity got turned off earlier this month. Maybe the hot water heater broke over Thanksgiving break. Maybe you've lost a loved one in this season. Maybe you've lost a job. Maybe a marriage has hit rock bottom. Maybe you've seen a great success or a promotion. Maybe you moved into your dream house. Whatever it is, we all have one simple thing in common we can be grateful for together, and that's Jesus and Him raising from the dead. And if you don't know that man, that person, the man who actually claimed that he was going to die and on 3 days he would raise from the dead and pulled it off, if you don't know that Jesus, maybe today you could be thankful for calling on His name for the very first time. So I'm going to give some space. I want you to write two other things you're thankful for. And then the team is going to sing a song. And this song is pretty special to my family because we've been having it on Spotify lately in the season of Thanksgiving. And it's called Counting Your Blessings. And we all, no matter what season we are in, have a chance to count our blessings. So let's do that. Take a few minutes.